The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
But first, to a take on jobs in the tech sector. We've been hearing a lot lately about job losses in the likes of Meta and Google, but our first guests are extremely concerned about the lack of tech workers here. We're joined by CEO and founder of Kilter Child Protection Software, Rena Maycock, and chair of Scale Ireland, Brian Caulfield. You're both very welcome to the programme. Rena, first to you. Your business, you've raised money. Difficult enough time, I'd say, raising money and seed capital for tech companies at the moment. You've done it. Well done. And now the next part is finding the right tech staff. And is that really difficult?
Yeah, I mean, from one set of funding problems to another set of problems, I foolishly thought, Richard, that we would attract talent very quickly on mission. You know, we're developing child protection software, and we thought as soon as we got the word out there, there would be, you know, technologists that had sold their soul to the devil, worked for big tech for 10, 15 years and wanted to use their powers for good. But we have found very quickly that that is not the case. There's not that much willingness for tech talent here in Ireland to jump ship right now.
And is that they're a little bit risk averse because of some of the publicity around the tech sector and valuations? They're thinking, well, I have this job. It's not my ultimate all-time favourite job, but I'm kind of all right doing it. I'm not going to take a chance on something new.
Yeah, and I think, I suppose, the Indigenous tech sector in Ireland does suffer from that. It's a little bit unsure. I mean, startup is risky, you know, by its very nature. So technologists probably that are in a pensionable job with a lot of benefits, you know, and we're offering competitive salary packages and all that kind of thing so that we can compete. But they're thinking, you know, will this company survive 5 years, 10 years down the line? Am I better off staying here? I've got financial commitments. I'm leveraged, you know. Is it worth taking the risk? And what we're seeing is no, it's not.
And where are the gaps? What I mean is, you know, we can talk about hiring technology experts, but is it people who can code? Is it people who are starting off in their career or people with more experience? Where's the real bottleneck?
You know what? It's actually across the board. We originally had advertised for people with experience in Android operating systems. You know, it's a very specific set of technical skills, which Brian will attest to. And we found very quickly nobody had those skills. So after a couple of weeks, I spoke to Mark Langan, our CTO, a very talented guy, and said, look, I think we're going to need to change strategy here and look for trade excellence, trade expertise and experience for excellence. And, you know, look for people with transferable skills like, you know, applied maths, physics, that kind of thing, you know, because he's confident he can help transfer those skills over. But yet still, it's very, very difficult to find any sort of talent with that base of logic.
And we can look at, I suppose, how we might solve that. But from a Scale Ireland point of view, Brian, you guys have done a survey recently. You do regular surveys on all of this. How big an issue for tech companies is this question of being able to find the right people and hire them?
So, yes, we do. We do an annual State of Startup survey. And this year we got 250 CEOs and founders to respond to that. And over the past couple of years, the results have been pretty consistent. The number one problem is access to finance. And, you know, roughly half of CEOs identify that as a problem. And the number two problem is access to talent and attracting and retaining talent. And as Rena said, it's pretty much across the board. It's everything from, you know, junior coders to experienced product management and engineering management talent. So
how do we fix this? I mean, there's been a big push, certainly in terms of what is talked about and initiatives around STEM in schools and encouraging more people to go into these areas. But that's a long-term thing. This is a very immediate thing, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, we certainly need to be conscious of the long-term, and we should be doing a lot more to encourage especially women into STEM subjects in school and in college, because they are significantly underrepresented in the sector still. But in terms of the immediate, I think there are a couple of things that we need to do. Number one, a lot of this talent comes from abroad, and Ireland is seen, relatively speaking, as an attractive location to come and work. But visa processing times and the hurdles associated with getting a visa are a major problem. You know, that's something that ideally should take days, not weeks or months.
And it is taking weeks or months, is it?
It is taking, in fairness, processing times have reduced in recent months. But at one stage, they were up at kind of 6 months. And, you know, you're just not going to be able to recruit somebody.
And Rena, for you, when it comes to trying to find the right people, you go through the various channels, you advertise the jobs, I presume you advertise internationally as well. But some of the candidates that, you know, might be interested in working for a company like yours, they might be sitting in another country applying for a visa, but they might be applying for 3 or 4 different visas to 3 or 4 different countries because they're in demand.
Absolutely. I mean, it's highly likely at least half of our team will end up coming from abroad. We'll need to import the talent. You know, currently we're talking to a guy in Germany, and in Germany, legally, you have to give 3 months' notice to your employer. So he's not going to be able to give his notice in unless we can kind of guarantee that he's got his visa. So we need to get the wheels in motion on that. And if there's more delays on that side, and like most startups, you're under significant time pressure. You've got a certain amount of runway from your raise and you need to keep within those confines because you don't want to be going back out looking for money, particularly in this climate.
And what about wages and how attractive it is? You know, we're often told that people who can code and people who have that computer expertise are heavily in demand, as we're hearing, and that they're very, very well paid. Is it a case that, you know, you just need to be able to offer more money, be more competitive?
Yes, I mean, there is certainly an argument for that. I mean, last year, I remember talking to a number of tech CEOs and they were already building in 10 to 25% increases without being asked for them to make sure that they retained their staff and they didn't face a recruiting crisis.
But how much do they make? How much does somebody starting off or up to a senior person make?
Anything from 50,000 upwards. I mean, the sky's the limit based on experience and expertise. So, I mean, I often quip, you know, with my kids, I'm certainly going to, if they don't express any interest in any particular vocation, I'll be nudging them down the STEM route because you can kind of name your price.
And Brian, on that question of educating our own to build up that skill set in Ireland, is it the case that we only have 5 million people in the country? We have this, I won't say an oversized technology industry, but a huge technology industry relative to that population. Mm. So if we want to develop our own, there's only a certain number of people who have an interest in STEM, who have an interest in coding, who have an ability to code. Is this just going to be an ongoing problem? We can probably do things better in the education system, but we're not going to be able to solve it, really.
Well, the reality is that the war for talent, as it's described, is a global phenomenon. It's not just an issue in Ireland. You know, there's essentially a global shortage of talented developers and programmers. So you're right. There's no easy fix here, but we can and should do a lot better. To give you another quick example, to reward people for the risk that they take by joining a startup, usually the kind of the benefit that they get is share options to reward them for the risk. Unfortunately, we have a system for share options in Ireland called the KEEP system that just hasn't worked. You know, only 1 in 6 of the respondents to our survey had used it. And I would say that actually overstates the case.
So if we had a better functioning system, they might be more inclined to take whatever risks might be involved in leaving a very big company to go to a much smaller one.
Yes.
We'll have to leave it there. Rena Maycock and Brian Caulfield, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.